This copyrighted podcast is presented by the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council. The opinions and views shared by those of non-paid guests on the business of blueberries are those of our guests and do not represent the views, positions, or policies of the USHBC. Welcome to the Business of Blueberries, your source for what's happening across the blueberry industry. Here's your host, President of the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council, Casey Cronquist.
Welcome back to another episode of the Business of Blueberries, the only podcast dedicated exclusively to the blueberry industry. With us, in her fourth appearance on the podcast, is Amanda Griffin. Amanda is the Vice President of Engagement and Education at the North American Blueberry Council and the U.S. Highbush Blueberry Council. Her episodes are always insightful. She's very energetic. So, Amanda, thanks for returning to another interview of the Business of Blueberries.
Thanks, Casey. Thanks for having me today.
Well, I want to just not assume that everybody knows you like I know you and make sure that our audience gets a quick sense of who you are and what you do here for the Blueberry Council and our industry at large. So can you just give us a quick overview of your role here and what is it that you do?
Sure, happy to. So I started my role here about 2.5 years ago, working within both councils on our industry engagement outreach. And really, this umbrella oversees our industry engagement events in person, as well as our programs and offerings that we do to try to do outreach both to growers and marketers and those that supply services for the blueberry industry, and generally try to figure out how we can not only increase the engagement between growers and the entire sector, but also provide more meaningful engagement. So my role here is to help steward some of those programs that we put on and ones that we hope to put on in the future.
Yeah, it certainly has, you know, driven a lot of great momentum in those relationships we have. And so, you know, the Blueberry Lane at the convention and things that are related to industry leadership. And so you've done a great job in helping pull programs together that we didn't necessarily have before. We didn't have the way we have them now. I'm doing a really great job with that. So, well, let's jump into a bit of a recap, one of those things that you are focused on in your role and the work we've been doing to, you know, elevate those events that we hold on behalf of the industry so that we can continue to draw more people into the work we're doing at USHBC. So we just wrapped another engaging event in Tucson, Arizona. So if you could just kind of give us a brief recap of what that week was about.
Yeah. So that week in Arizona was our Blueberry Convention, which I know you already mentioned our Blueberry Lane, but this is our event that has our expanded Blueberry Lane with exhibitors that show up to meet all of the growers and marketers. The week is filled with both our council and board meetings, as well as a robust lineup of education through our general sessions and concurrent education sessions. You know, and on top of that, some of the things that I know that we will dive into a little bit more, but some of the other pieces is really figuring out avenues for folks to interact together, both not just in the boardroom or in the meeting room, but also we held a golf tournament. So really seeing everybody out there on the Grab a Boost of Blue golf tournament. So it really was a sunny week in Tucson and great to gather the industry together.
Yeah, it was a really, like you said, a great lineup of both education, keynotes, folks that we had come take the main stage, and certainly our concurrent sessions, and of course, our meetings. And it was a really great week altogether there. But I think what stood out to me is the main stage presentations, the keynotes that we had, which I knew the response was great when we were there. So to be clear, I mean, I think Melissa Byland probably wouldn't have got out of the hotel had we not found a way to get her through everybody who wanted to talk to her after she got off the stage, because it was just such a great presentation from her. So yeah, let's talk a little bit about those keynotes.
Yeah, so we had the opportunity to have two keynote breakfast sessions, and this is really where there's nothing else going on for the event. Everybody's in the room having some breakfast, breaking bread together, but then also taking the stage some content. And as you mentioned, one of the mornings we did have Melissa Byland from Walmart, and she is there. For those that don't know, which I feel like there's very few out there that may not, but she's the merchandising director for Walmart. And you and Melissa took the stage and had a really great candid conversation on the future look at blueberry growth within the retail space. And I don't know if you want to elevate any of those key points that you took away from that conversation, but I will say that what was really, really nice to see was the time taken at the end for all of the questions and answers. It was a very candid and honest discussion on what not only Walmart maybe looking for, but also just in general, where the berry patch is going at this point within the retail space.
And I think it reflected well that she recognizes, you know, what USHBC brings to the table in terms of consumer insights and things that we can provide her and her team on growing that category, growing our category there at Walmart. So it was a great conversation. I think it fit well with our other keynote, which was the future state of blueberries with Soren Bjorn and Driscoll's. And Juan Ignacio Allende, he's the CEO for Hortifruit and a board member for Nature Ripe. And I thought that went really well, given the conversation and the nature of the kind of larger discussion of where the category is going globally, which was an important piece of just talking with them about, you know, how they see blueberries specifically. And of course, each one of those companies have a global perspective that they were able to bring to, you know, understanding where investments are, just how much volume we can expect to see coming as things move forward.
Yeah, that's right. And I think from an attendee standpoint, I was once again encouraged by the number of questions. I feel like we could have gone an extra hour after with the questions from the audience that we received, just for these two spearheads for their companies in where they see the industry going. I just thought just a great opportunity for the audience to interact with these two folks and to glean some knowledge and also ask some hard questions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's a lot at stake, you know, not just obviously for these two companies, but for what these two companies understand is moving forward for our industry. It was encouraging to hear how much value they placed on our relationship and that, you know, they're both companies are, you know, memorandum of understanding MOU contributors to the NABC, which is contributing those resources of marketing dollars back to the USHBC. But, you know, kind of their belief in working together to accomplish things that no one of them, even at the size that they are, would accomplish alone. And I think they did a good job of identifying that it's not going to happen unless we work together to make it happen. And that was a great theme out of that conversation. Okay, let's take a break here for our crop report.
Welcome, blueberry enthusiasts. I'm Joe Vargas, the Director of Business Intelligence for the North American Blueberry Council, better known as Data Joe. Ready for this week's scoop straight from the fields? Our domestic season has begun, and we also have reports coming in from Peru and Mexico. So here, once again, your blueberry crop report.
Good morning. This is Brittany with your Florida weekly crop update. Central Florida is approximately 80% through harvesting. Most growers are reporting that they're no longer hand harvesting and the remainder of the season will be done by machine. North Florida is approximately 30 to 50% through harvest. Again, most of the remaining harvest in North Florida will be done by machine. Limited hand harvesting will be throughout the state. And cedar waxwings are definitely moving into the area. Labor's still good and sufficient. Disease pressure is low. That's this week's Florida Crop Update.
Hello, this is Jody McPherson giving the crop report for North Carolina. We're coming off of a cold, wet weekend. Monday's temps were in the mid-30s, but no frost or any effect from the cold event from that day. Balance of the week has been rising temps, more moderate, sunny. We're a little on the dry side for this time of the year, but moisture is satisfactory. Disease pressure is low. North Carolina is looking to start picking the earliest varieties by May the 8th. Following the week, second week of May, increased production. Our peak week is still anticipated the last week of May, first week of June. Estimate fresh and process remains the same, 40 million fresh, 10 million process. Thank you.
This is TJ Hafner doing the crop report for Oregon. Great pollination weather last week. Highs were mostly in the mid-60s to low 70s. On Wednesday and Sunday morning, temps dropped down close to freezing. From what I'm seeing so far, I don't think we were affected that much. I expect there may have been farms located in colder microclimates that find more damage. Overall, I don't think it will be very impactful to the volume coming out of Oregon. Forecast for the next week looks damp, with rain expected 4 out of the next 7 days. Crop load still looks great. Honeybees have had a nice long stretch of dry weather, and they've been working hard. Petal fall is starting to happen in most all varieties. Legacy and Duke still have a lot of bloom hanging on, but also have green fruit beginning to size. Draper went from about 25% bloom to almost 100% bloom in the last 7 days. disease and insect pressure remains low. Hopefully this will continue to be the case after the upcoming rain. No changes to what we're expecting out of Oregon yet. So 145 million pounds total, of which 55% being processed and 45% fresh. As for an anticipated start date for Oregon, I'm going to say around June 15th to June 20th. And that's all.
Hello, this is Luis with a crop report from Peru until the end of week 16, which run from April 15th until April 21st. The Peruvian season 2023-2024, it's coming to an end. This season finishes in week 17. Remind you that it started in week 18 of last year. Until the end of week 16, Peru has shipped a total of 495 million pounds of fresh blueberries worldwide, which represents a drop in volume of 21% compared to the previous season. The US remains as our main destination, representing 56% of the total volume shipped, followed by Europe with 28%, China with 12%, and the remaining markets with 4%. Also, from the total volume shipped, 11% have been organics. What happened during week 16? Well, Peru has shipped a total of 578,000 pounds, which is 38% less volume than the one shipped on the previous week. From this total volume, 54% has been shipped to the US, with approximately 323,000 pounds, which is expected to arrive the US market during the third week of May. The other markets where Peru shipped during week 16 were Europe with 4% of the volume and other destinations with 40% of the volume. So this has been the report from Peru until the end of week 16. See you next week. Thank you.
Thanks so much to our busy growers and colleagues who take time to participate in these reports. As a reminder, you can go to ushbc.org/data to find our Data and Insight Center to see more data of what's happening in the blueberry industry. All right, back to today's conversation.
One of the things that I know we're doing differently that I want to talk about with this with you, just because it's on strategy of bringing more people to our conference, taking advantage of the opportunity to be together and network together, but it's these education sessions. And these sessions, you know, in many ways, for people who have been familiar with our history of organization hosting meetings, is taking up the time that was normally being taken by committee meetings. And the reason for that is because, you know, what we've been on strategy to try to do is provide the value of what our program's doing in education sessions. So one of the good examples of that is to bring the blueberry harvester conversation forward, the soil matters conversation forward, really wanting to make sure that people who want to know about the work that we're doing are hearing from the program work that's being done. So maybe we could talk a little bit about that strategy here, like why we're pulling the program work through an education session instead of having people hear about the work we're doing through a committee meeting.
Yeah. So I think by having these separate education sessions, you have the opportunity to further dive deeper into some of the projects and the topics that the committees or task forces or even subcommittees are working on. So as you mentioned, if you take the Soil Matters session and the Blueberry Harvester session, those two sessions that took place in Tucson, those are all unique projects that the Berry Smart Technology Task Force are working on and have been working on. So really diving into measurements within soil and working collaboratively with Steve Mantle with Innovate Ag, who is our partner in the Berry Smart Field project. So having Steve on stage with a slew of other soil experts talking through sort of the future of not just measurement of soils in different pieces, but also really where the future is with certain tech we can bring into the field to allow us to work smarter. And then that translates also within the harvester section and really bringing a couple of those bigger name companies. You had Latow up there, Finefield, Burrow, and really bringing them up to the stage just to really talk about sort of what they've got coming down the pipeline and where they see their role within the blueberry sector in the harvester conversation. And so, you know, as you mentioned, you know, some of that would have been enveloped into the tech task force meeting. But really, these are topics that we want to pull out and promote to the audience at large who may not have known what the tech task force was working on in particular. So that is a little bit of that mindset. And it doesn't mean the tech task force isn't working on the background on ensuring that we have these resources available. It's just when you get to the event on site, it's more so how do we package that material to allow for the greater audience to be able to have access to it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. It's rather than sit through a meeting where you've got to like glean from, you know, what otherwise is just a governance conversation of picking projects and budgets. Like, how do you bring these projects to life? You bring them through education, you connect the dots through presentation and a deep dive that allows for, unlike in a meeting setting where, you know, the audience typically isn't a participant. In this case, we're inviting the audience into the room to essentially ask questions and really engage with what results are coming from these projects.
That's right. And, you know, it's funny too, because the more we dive into developing these education sessions, the more opportunities we see for different topics. And I know on the planning end, before we really go out and select exactly what the topics are, we have a whole slew that can't even get selected because we don't have enough time in person to really cover all of these meetings. So really, you know, I love this phrase, but the world is our blueberry when it comes to all the education topics that we can cover when it comes out of the work that's being done within the task forces, the subcommittees, and the committees. So it's exciting to see. And I, you know, if we wanted to dive in more, we did have Dave Magana take the stage from Rabobank, who talked to us a little bit about, well, not a little bit, a lot about the economy and really the impact the economy will have on blueberries. And we also had Brian Bocock, who, as most of this audience knows, is Vice President of Product Management for Nature Right Farms and Chairperson for the Promotions Committee at USHBC, take the stage in tandem with Kevin Hamilton, our Vice President of Global Marketing and Communications for NABC USHBC. And they really talked about how to grow that demand and how much opportunity there is and what really remains. And so, you know, that really takes some of the conversation out of the promotions committee that would normally take place and elevating that to the big stage so that folks have more of an opportunity to hear where the opportunity is on the demand side.
Yeah. And you know, what made that valuable, and I, and again, this ties back to, you wouldn't get that access in a typical promotion meeting. And it wasn't that we didn't have the promotion meeting, we did, but what this provided for people who haven't met Kevin or you know, wanted to hear from the chairman's point of view of kind of unpacking what otherwise is just a budget meeting and a conversation about strategy for the committee, you know, it's really a set aside amount of time for our industry to have access to these folks and talk through what it is that they may have heard at a promotion meeting, or they may believe that USHBC is working on, or maybe we're not working on, but they want to hear directly from them and then be able to have the kind of appropriate forum for questions and answers and dialogue back and forth that went on. I got to sit in through part of that presentation, and I think it was really well received. I think those are the kinds of things that really take it another step further for people who aren't going to get that out of a typical, you know, governance promotion meeting. So I thought that went really well as well. I think Brian, obviously folks that know him, did a really good job facilitating that conversation with Kevin. And of course, Kevin being new to the industry, it gave him a really good opportunity to kind of lay out what opportunities he sees we have for blueberries, which, you know, again, I mean, I can see in the survey that they're very encouraged by consumer research. Kevin is looking at, you know, the strategy that he's deployed and his history and his experience having been in this space in agriculture before for a commodity board. So a really valuable opportunity for our industry to be able to kind of hear from him and hear from Brian and be thinking about the direction we're heading as a program. I think we covered actually all the sessions, right? I mean, I think we covered it. And again, just kind of looking at this survey, because we have it in front of us here, it's, you know, a lot of great feedback on these education sessions, you know, the feedback on just comments people have made, you know, very positive, great information. I'm just kind of looking through here on some of the things that people said.
Yeah. And as you're looking through that, I would say one of the other pieces, like I had mentioned before, is we do get the feedback on not having the concurrent education sessions. And these are always, when you look at the survey, sometimes you're thinking, yeah, I wish we didn't have to have sessions that overlap with each other and the education piece. But then you also get the feedback that folks don't want the week to be as long. So it's really hard. Sometimes I wish we could build 50-hour days that feel like 24 hours in one event to make sure that we can cover everything that I think would be valuable for the industry to see. So it is fun reading these surveys because there's a bit of a paradox because you're like, yes, I will not make them concurrent, but then you got to add an extra day. So those are interesting pieces when you read through it.
Well, and one of the ones that you read through is like, how do we pick our locations? And, you know, again, Tucson being one that we'd been to before, but we went back to this year. And what's interesting about that question, because we ask it about, you know, in this follow-up of these events, is you get the mixed review of people who really appreciate being in a place that they want to travel to, you know, in terms of a Nashville or a Tucson or a Tampa, you know, versus, you know, there is certainly an audience within the survey that wants to be in a growing region almost every time. There's always a person or two, maybe it's the same person because, you know, these are anonymous surveys, but where, you know, we're not in a growing region, I didn't get to see a field. And so, you know, again, there's a balance of that. You know, we know that there's a value to being in cities and places and locations that can host an event our size. But at the same time, being in regions at times where we can reach those farms that they're within a driving distance and we can take people through a field tour when we can. So maybe talk a little bit about where we've transitioned that to in light of what feedback we get and where we think this is going in terms of the future locations that we will continue to choose from.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, when you think about the location, there's so many factors that play a role beyond what you just mentioned. If you think about our size of our event, as well as trying to make sure that you're cognizant of traveling around the states and not staying in one particular region to ensure that you are making the event more accessible for folks in the given years that it might be closer when normally it might be harder to travel. The other piece that is a huge key player in this is also when we host the events. So, you know, it might make sense to go to a certain region because it can host us and it's a growing region, which is great, but then it may not be the right season to actually go and do a farm tour. So for that benefit of getting to that region may not be the best one. So as we look at all of those factors, I think the key one is obviously finding a place that'll fit the event itself so that we can have everybody comfortably in one spot. The feedback of having a hotel large enough to host so that everybody is in one spot is also some feedback that we consider, because if you think about just creating that hub for the blueberry industry to be together is very important as opposed to being spread out all across the city. So those factors definitely play a role. And I know as we look ahead for our events, we're looking to make a couple shifts, which I know we're going to dive into. But I think as we look at those shifts, it's really just going to be a matter of where do we fit? And also, how do we stay in touch with our audience for where everybody's located?
Well, where do we fit is hopefully going to continue to be a big factor, because I can see where as we grow and we continue to invite the entire industry together at any one place, it is going to continue to limit. I mean, one of the conversations I've had with leadership in the past, and I'm sure it'll come up again, like, why don't we go to Bar Harbor, Maine again? That was such a great trip. Mm-hmm.
Every year that comes up.
And again, we're already too big for that. So we have to be very sensitive that where we go doesn't limit the ability for people to participate and attend. And of course, if you're pulling, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, hopefully eventually 1,000 people, it's just not possible. You've overrun the resources of a community or a city. So that's got to be considered every time. And I know we've chosen Denver going into the fall, and there was a lot of consideration on that. And again, not in a region where we're going to be able to take people to a production facility or a growing region that we can walk through fields, but a place where I think we're going to get a lot of attendance.
You know, you're right, Casey. The Blueberry Summit being located in Denver, it's a great location airport-wise to get in and out of from all over and just location in general. And it's funny, we just finished an analysis, really honing in on our event history from an attendance standpoint. And when we think about our growers and the importance and the attendance for growers to be present at the events, one of the things that we're finding is this fall time period, when most of the seasons are wrapping up, really is the correct time period for folks to gather to talk about the seasons, to either celebrate the wins or chat through what maybe wasn't a win and talking and just gathering together as an industry. So yeah, so the summit really is that fall period, really is that sweet spot that we're finding for growers to gather together. So I'm looking forward to the summit. It'll be filled with all of your usual great things as you look forward to it, which includes our dinner on that one evening where we gather together for the USHBC NABC dinner and honor those for the NABC annual awards. And we also will have leadership class two. So the Blueberry Industry Leadership Program will actually graduate in Denver and then also present on their capstone project that they've been working on all year. So it really is an event of celebrations.
Wow. And it's crazy to think that class two will be wrapping up in Denver already. That is just sneaks up on you. And it's a great opportunity for people who want to see how the future of the industry, and I don't want to couch it as like, these are young people. That's not what the leadership group is, but it's like, this is such a committed group of professional individuals, you know, growers, marketers, suppliers, food manufacturers, all together working together on a capstone project for the industry. To see that kind of collaboration coming together, it's a really great program for USHBC. It's a really great opportunity for our industry to collaborate on a program like this. So certainly looking forward to the graduation there at Blueberry Summit. This is all really great, rich, and valuable information that we want to be able to provide to as many people as possible. But I know we've got some changes ahead that we're trying to make in order to both provide the value of this information back to the industry and encourage the industry to join us. So what is changing? What does the future of our industry engagement look like going forward, and where do you see it going?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And I think if you think about industry engagement in multiple different sectors, but first let's take the events. From an event standpoint, we currently offer the convention in the spring and the summit in the fall. And our original goal with having both of those events was that the convention in the spring would be the one that would have the Blueberry Lane trade show floor that would further expand, which is a key element to the growth of the event, is to provide more solutions on Blueberry Lane for the growers to see when they stroll the lane. And then also to expand in that convention, because as you think, if you're going to increase Blueberry Lane, that would be the opportunity to also increase the education offerings and really make it more of a robust event. And then the goal of the summit was to keep that one a little bit smaller, so to not have the larger Blueberry Lane and to have a little bit less of the education. And so that audience would naturally be a little bit smaller. All of these events would have our council board meetings taking place as well, and committee meetings. So if you think about it, we had two different times of years where we gathered and did events. Well, what we're finding is that may not be the best model. And as you know, as we pulled together the event history report and we saw, you know, growers seem to be favoring the fall time period. And from a condensed schedule standpoint, when we talked to the exhibitors that would go to Blueberry Lane, it made more sense for them to actually go in the fall as well, as their calendars are shifting. We made this decision, I believe, to do these two almost the year after COVID. So things were just ramping back up. And so now with the calendars full again, it really isn't as feasible to grow a spring event for our industry. So the change is we are going to smush over the convention to the fall and essentially take away the summit and have one large event in the fall called the Blueberry Convention. So still the same name that we were going to have in the spring, but just now it's in the fall. It's an opportunity to celebrate the end of the season, gather everybody together, and that is where we will grow the trade show floor to have more expansive education offerings and more opportunities for folks to gather and to meet. What does that mean, though? So if that's events, and we've condensed down to one event now taking place into the fall, giving us one place for everybody to focus on attending, then that opens up the springtime and more resources for different types of engagement. And one of the routes that we're hoping to go is to really bring back those regional engagement opportunities where the council can host in different regions gatherings together for growers and marketers alike to really gather together an opportunity to hear what the council is working on, but also equally, if not more important, an opportunity for all of us to gather together and to talk about key issues and key things that are going on within the industry and really bring the industry together within the regions, as opposed to having two events where we ask folks to go to a place. So we're really excited about this shift. Not to speak for you, Casey, but I know the industry engagement team here is very excited about this shift because it feels like a good opportunity to really go to the regions and host there and really allow for us to have a greater reach within the industry.
Yeah. Well, and a credit to our ability to scale to do that. I would say, you know, part of the reason we have had two events a year is that's our ability to gather people together and not have this kind of team spread out over time. And as our team has grown, it's going to allow us to kind of do some divide and conquering into these regions so that we are able to bring these program priorities and these things that we're working towards to the different growing regions. And again, to your point, like you don't have to come to one of our two events. We're going to start bringing some of the things that we can talk about to you. And that's going to be great. And I know I'm looking forward to this. And I know this is going to be a big part of kind of transitioning from the way we were doing it to this new approach.
Yeah. You know, in addition to the new approach and doing the industry engagement at regional meetings, we have not lost sight of the fact that we're still going to host the council meetings and the committee meetings in person. So those will still take place in the springtime, and the industry at large is invited to attend. But what you won't see at these meetings is the education lineup, Blueberry Lane. It won't be the big event that you're used to. It'll be really gathering together to have these meetings and for business purposes. And so again, open to anybody, and we'll make sure that we promote them like we do all of our other events, but it won't be the big event. Now, I will also say the third, or maybe we're on fourth prong to the industry engagement shift, is also a focus on what virtual offerings we can bring with solutions to the industry as well. Because we're familiar with the fact that there might be other folks within growers organizations, within marketer organizations that may want to have access to some of this content, whether it's from the Blueberry Tech Task Force that may have some information coming out of the Berry Smart field. So really elevating some of this stuff throughout the year and allowing it to be more of a reach through a virtual offering. So that's another area of focus as we look into 2025. And I know I didn't mention timing, but the shift will happen in 2025. So you will not see in 2025 a spring convention. That'll now be in the fall. And you will see these meetings taking place in 2025 where they're just meetings, not the big event.
That's right.
In the spring.
All right. Well, this has been a great conversation. You know, I really appreciate the work you and your team have been doing to kind of reshape and then continue to revise. And what I hope people are taking away from this conversation is that we listen, right? I mean, part of, you know, surveying after every event, you know, I know that when we were in Tucson last, you gave the industry engagement survey to both the industry engagement committee and the board itself. So, you know, these surveys that we send out, they're super important. Why? Because they help us understand, you know, one, how are you experiencing the resources that USHBC is offering, whether these are in events or these are packaged in meetings or content or in the work product that we're distributing. So it's really valuable to get this feedback from folks when we send out these surveys. So for those who did provide, and we did really great, this Tucson survey, credit to the communications team, you know, we pulled in more people into this survey, this Tucson survey, than we have in the past. So I think we had 81, over 80, I know it was over 80 responses to those who attended. And that's great. And it's great to see all the feedback. And it's great to see the diversity of the feedback. Like I will say, you know, like we're talking about the future places that we should go. You know, we ask those questions and they say, you know, we always have the blueberry regions where they could tour packing fields and distributing centers. And then you've got the other person that says just vacation destinations. And guess what? We're going to do all of the above. You know, you're going to end up in vacation destinations and you're also going to end up in places where we can go tour farms and facilities. So it'll change, and it'll change like it always has changed as we go and pick places that we can fit and host these meetings and host these events. So thank you so much, Amanda, for the work you and your team do. That's it for this week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with more innovation, collaboration, family, and hard work right here on the Business of Blueberries.